We were designed to hunger for the deep things of God, to thrive on faith and wonder, to seek out divine wisdom that defies human logic. We were designed to unlock the mysteries of God. This is Breathing Underwater. Hello, everybody. This is Margo. I'm so happy to be with you today in episode 58, where we are going to be talking about generational blessings, generational inheritance. And because we're talking about that, also generational iniquity. What does it look like to recognize God speaking to you about something generational in your dreams? What are some signs? What are some symbols? I'm going to go into that. What does it actually mean to receive a generational inheritance or a generational blessing or face generational iniquity? If you've been following the podcast, you know I have spoken on this a couple different times, but I'm not sure we've really dug in and delineated scriptures to back this up and give real frameworks so that you can walk forward asking the questions with God, recognizing if he's speaking to you about this in your dreams or in your waking life or through scripture. So I really wanted to do that today, especially because this has been a topic for me for probably 15 years now with God, where the concept of generational iniquity and generational blessing has been what we talk about. It has been the work I've been doing. It has been what I've been renewing my mind to understand and believe and preparing to receive. And just having episode 56 with Rachel, we did interpretation of her dream, the wooden fish, which just so happened to be deeply rich with symbolism and this heavenly message to her from the Father about generational inheritance. And I thought, you know what, this is an indicator that this is something we need to spend a little time talking about right now. And I really do believe, on a whole, that the body of Christ is learning about our generational inheritance. God is setting us up and positioning us to receive from our generations, but also to set up those that are coming after us to have a real spiritual and physical legacy. Now, what we know about God, if you've read anything in scripture, is that he is very legacy oriented. He is looking at the big picture. He's looking at the generations to come. He's looking at your life, but far past your life, and how your life and the lives before you and the lives that will come after you all work together to accomplish his purposes. It's really easy to get stuck in the mundane things of life or to get in that microwave mentality where we want to hurry something up or we are tempted to make decisions in our life thinking, oh, my little life is so small. Or on the flip side, thinking, oh, this is so uncomfortable. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want out of this pain or this discomfort. And it can be tempting to make decisions based on coming into comfort immediately. But God is really, really teaching us and growing us how to think about those that come after, to think about the big picture, to think about longevity, making decisions in the now that will affect those to come. And when we talk about generational iniquity and generational inheritance or blessing, this has everything to do with the decisions that the generations before us made. So we are going to enter into this conversation today. If you want to get a pencil and paper, this would be the moment to do it. But mostly, I want you to just listen and receive God's heart for you and start to percolate on, huh, has God been talking to me about this? Has he been giving me dreams about this? All right, let's get started. Okay, Okay, let's look at some scriptures here to give us a little bit more definition. Now, I am going to be bringing examples from the Old Testament, but this ties into the New Testament and the New Covenant as well. In Numbers 14, 18, God is speaking to Moses and the Israelites who have just been released from captivity in the great exodus from Egypt, and they've been sojourning in the wilderness in preparation to take the land that has always meant to be theirs. But because they've spent so much time in bondage, I mean, it's 400 years, so these people had literally been born into bondage and into this culture that was this Egyptian culture. And they had inherited mindsets, as you can imagine, like we all do, from those who had come before them. And while there were stories that had been passed down to them because they were Hebrew, absolutely, they were immersed in a culture that was not our God's culture. They were immersed and surrounded by mindsets and narratives that were being shoved down their throats, essentially, that were not godly. They had forgotten that they were sons and daughters. They were needing so desperately to be reestablished in identity, but also to remember truth again and to remember who their God is and what he requires and how he is holy and so utterly different than the Egyptian gods and the Egyptian way of worshiping. Okay. So this is another example where God is talking to Moses in the Israelites about who he is, to remind them of what of his character and how different that is from the gods that they were surrounded by in Egypt, and what he requires of his people, because he is wanting them to come back into truth and to come back into safety. So this is Numbers 14, 18, where God is describing who he is. And he says, the Lord is long-suffering, which means patient. He's of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, yet by no means clearing the guilty. He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. This is the Lord saying about himself that he is very patient and he loves to forgive iniquity. He's merciful, but he's also just. And so he's not going to clear the guilty. He's going to allow that to visit the generations to the third and fourth generation. Now, what does to the third and fourth generation mean? It's easy for us to take that very literally. Okay, so the third and fourth generation, but then the fifth generation's off the hook? No, that's not what this means, actually. The phrase, the third and fourth, to the third and fourth generation, is actually a Hebrew idiom that actually means for whatever number it takes, or for however long it takes. So a good way to paraphrase this would to be to say that he will by no means clear the guilty, but he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children for as long as it takes until they break the cycle, until they come to repentance, okay? And then we jump down to Deuteronomy 9:7, where God is speaking about generational blessings. We're learning about his covenant of love. And it says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful. He is faithful in keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. And we have many other scriptures where it talks about blessing, God giving the blessing and it being passed down to the generations. Actually, the majority of God talking about blessing in scripture is in the context of the generations. Of course, we all know the example of the blessing that he gave to Abraham. And then who received the blessing after Abraham? It was Isaac, his son, right? And then it was passed to Jacob. It was meant to be passed to Esau, but Jacob deceived him, and Jacob ended up receiving that blessing. And then it went on to his 12 sons and on and on and on until we are actually grafted into the promise of Abraham because we are believers in Christ. It says in Galatians 3:14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, which is most of us, through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So we'll see that blessing was meant to come through the generations, but because God set things up so generationally, that inheritance was so a part of his plan, that we also can inherit iniquity. But there is always the ability to repent and to change our minds about what was passed down to us. See, I think so often God is waiting for us to go, wait, this is unrighteous. This cycle that I've seen happen in my family line that I am now tempted to be a part of, this generational addiction maybe, or this fruit I'm seeing in my life that is actually rooted in decisions that came from the fathers and mothers before me. I recognize, God, that this is ungodly and I want to end this in my generation. And as soon as we go to him and we say, I take responsibility for this on behalf of my generations, I repent of this and turn, he is so faithful to forgive us. Now, people can get confused going, wait, but I thought every curse was broken when Christ died once and for all on the cross for us. He became the curse, right? And that is absolutely true. It has been done once and for all. And yet, how many of us recognize that even though oftentimes when we receive salvation, there are big breakthroughs and big even deliverances that happen in that moment. And then we work out this kind of process of sanctification, right? And we go through life getting more and more healing and more breakthrough, and layers of healing happen because we are taking what Christ already died for and we are appropriating that to our situation, to our circumstances. So my healing and deliverance has already been paid for. I don't need to pay for that again. That is what Christ paid for. But that wasn't all instantly dissolved the moment that I became a believer. I know this can be a point of contention for some, and it's one of those mysteries. Like, I have a new nature and I'm a new person and the old person has died in Christ and I'm risen with a new nature. That's totally true. And I'm still working out these healings and deliverances in my life, right? We kind of just got to hold the tension and the mystery there. So when we have generational iniquities come up, or God shows us generational curses that have been handed down to the third and fourth generation, it is an invitation from him to say, this is going to stop with me. And I even believe he has woven in to our destinies, knowing those of us that would say, nope, this is going to end with me, he's even woven that in to end with us so that we're not passing those things on to our children as well. But his design initially was for the blessing to be passed down. Now, inheritance, the important thing to know about inheritance is that God designed this to be, and it is, even in our world today, and the way that this happens for us to receive an inheritance is not something you purchase. It's not something you pay for. It's not something you work for. It's a gift. It is something that is given to sons and daughters. It is written over to members of the family by the head of the family, usually fathers, but fathers and mothers. And it awaits a time of maturity. Most wise fathers are not going to release an inheritance to a 15-year-old, right? They're not going to release inheritance until the time is right and that child is mature enough to really receive it. And I think many of us are in this spiritual season where God is preparing us. Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Where God is preparing us to receive the generational blessings and inheritances that he has already set to be passed down through our family lines from the beginning. He is setting us up for that. And a way he is maturing us as his children to be able to receive those blessings and steward them and hold them and grow them and be mature enough to handle them, essentially, is to go through the tests and trials we go through in life and also to be ending and breaking down these generational iniquities. Because oftentimes a generational iniquity can actually stand in the way of us being able to receive the generational blessing. It's crazy the way that that works, but I have seen this happen. So if God is speaking to you about generational iniquity or curses, it is because he wants to release freedom to you and all that will be a part of your legacy, and because he's preparing you to receive a generational inheritance. Now, you might be thinking, I don't know if there's any generational inheritance for me to even receive from my family because they didn't know God and it felt really dark and it was really hard stuff happening in my family. I hear that. And here's what I know. that God is so big and so beautiful and so all-knowing that He has, I believe, released blessings into your generational line. It may not have shown up very clearly with your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents. It might have been at the inception hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago within your family, and He might be wanting to just release that now to you. And so I would just recognize that He's so good. There are generational blessings in your family line, absolutely, that you have things to receive because He has ordained it to come through every family on the earth for those who will receive it. And you are one that is being prepared to receive that. And on top of this, if that's really hard to hold or really hard to believe, you as a believer in Christ have been grafted in to God's family, and you are now an heir. All of us who say yes to God's adoption, we all are immediately heirs to all that is His. That is mind-boggling that we immediately become heirs. I have a good friend who was had a sister adopted at a very young age. So she had a sister, a biological sister, and then they adopted a girl that was a little bit older than them when they were very young. And she told this story recently that was so powerful. She said she learned so much about the adoption process that they went through with their sister in this time. And one of the things with and the laws around adoption is that that document becomes so binding that that child who is adopted actually cannot be written out of a will. I don't know all the technical terms, but there is actually some safeguard in place that the legal taking on of the family name, that adoption that happens in that legal process, that they're not even able to be written out of a will, where natural children can actually be written out of inheritance, but not in contract of adoption. Isn't that crazy? Some of you may know more about this. Please, would you email me and give me the right language so that I know exactly the terms to use? But that story just popped into my mind now that I'm sharing this with you. And it just reminds me of God and His character, because we were adopted by Him. We were brought into this family saying, "You belong to me. You are sons and daughters." We began as sons and daughters. And then we broke away from the family when sin came into the world and decided we wanted to go our own way. But then we are reconciled back to God and re-adopted essentially into our truest identity through Christ. And we are heirs of all that is His. So if it's hard for you to even look at receiving something positive from your generations, know that it's there. Ask Holy Spirit to show you what it is, and know that you receive all that belongs to God. So what are some examples of generational blessings that you could receive? So in this episode with Rachel, there was some really cool imagery that were dead giveaways that this was a generational thing right away. And it really started with this beautifully carved wooden fish garland that she found at a warehouse sale in her dream. And she loved it. And immediately God started to speak to her about the symbolism of the fish and how that talks about abundance. Like when Jesus was multiplying the loaves and the fishes, and when Jesus was telling the disciples to throw their net in on the other side of the boat. And they're like, "We've already done that." But when they did, in response to obedience, they ended up bringing in a catch of fish that almost broke the nets. So another correlation to fish and abundance, but also Jesus talking about, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," and evangelism and telling people about Jesus and bringing people into the family of God, right? But we knew that this was a generational sign because one of Rachel's favorite things to do with her father is to go fishing. And in the dream, this fish garland had attached to it at the bottom this vintage fishing basket that belongs to her father that he got from his grandfather, who was also a fisherman. So here's this thing I do with my father. And now there's this picture or image of something that came from his grandfather, which is her great grandfather. So this is talking about the generations before. Then I reminded her, because she and I are cousins, so we, our dads are brothers, we share the same grandfather, the same lineage. I reminded her that our ancestors in Norway and our family that still lives there are fishermen, were fishermen. So it just added another layer, like for trade, by trade they were fishermen, another layer of this generational inheritance that God was talking about being abundance. But also, the artistry and the craftsmanship of those wood fish was also speaking to her about a generational inheritance and blessing, because our grandfather was an incredible woodworker. And he passed that down to both her father and my father, who are talented woodworkers. And so she and I have both also received this gift. Now, are we woodworkers? No, but this is speaking to just a gift for artistry and creativity. And I think an eye and a passion for beauty that absolutely is a part of the blessing and gifting that we are receiving from our family members. You can also receive favor in a certain area. Maybe you have found that you just have this generational favor in business in your family. Maybe your great grandma was a businesswoman, and then your grandmother was too, and so was your dad, and it's being passed down to you. Like, recognize where there's a pattern, where there had been something already in the generations where there just seemed to be favor. It could be a vocational favor. It could be maybe you've just had amazing health through your family, and that's a blessing from God. Maybe it is a particular kind of temperament, like just a very peaceful temperament. We know that's personality, but I think that can also be a blessing, especially when it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? To have a peaceful nature is absolutely a blessing and a gift. Of course, we can see generational iniquity as well, which might be showing up in your dreams. And that might be something, like I said before, maybe a cyclical addiction or a tendency toward hopelessness or disappointment or shame. You know, those kinds of things that we can feel like, man, this is bigger and heavier than me. And I recognize that my dad actually suffered from that. And interesting, I think that God is showing me that maybe his dad suffered from that, which God will often point out in dreams. Another example of some imagery you might see in a dream that could indicate that this is something generational would be that your grandparent, or maybe a great-grandparent, is in the dream, or even a great aunt, maybe, but usually a generation back. Not just parents, but usually a grandparent or so or further back shows up in your dream. This could be talking about a generational blessing or a generational iniquity, depending on the context. If you find yourself maybe in your grandparents' house in a dream, this could also be speaking to the generations, something that came down that particular line. So just pay attention. Was it mom's side or was it dad's side? I actually interpreted a dream for a guy recently who in the dream found himself back in like the 1700s in this barn that was out on this farm. And he was at a dance there, and he recognized the man there was his great-great-grandfather. And he just knew it was him. And so we knew when we were interpreting this dream, oh gosh, look at that setting. That's centuries back, or yeah, centuries back, but also your great-great-great-grandfather showed up in the dream. Okay, God is talking about something that happened then that probably entered into the family at that moment that he wants you to see. And I believe that he was speaking of blessing in that moment and of iniquity, so that he was able to recognize where this generational iniquity came from and put a stop to it, but also to see the blessing that God was passing down and he wanted to give him. An example of a generational dream that I had way back when was at the beginning of my very deep journey into generational freedom, really. Freedom through my own life, but things that were all rooted in the generations. I've had quite a bit of this. I have been working through this for 15 years probably now. And I would say probably that long ago, I had a dream where I was standing on the porch at my grandparents' house. And at this point, my grandfather had passed, but my grandmother was still alive. I was standing on the porch at her house, and they live up on a little hill. And I was watching this flood start rushing toward the house up the hill. And it was scary. It was like, oh my gosh, I need to get to higher ground. Or, oh my gosh, I need to get inside. A flood is coming. But it was coming up, rushing up the hill. And there was red in the water, almost like the water was bloody. And I remember when I woke up thinking, whew, that was a little bit scary. God, what are you showing me? And he told me that we're going to be starting a season of cleansing the bloodlines. So the blood in the water during that flood was talking about the bloodlines. And I was also at my grandparents' house, and it was my dad's family, my dad's side. So I knew it had to do specifically with that side of the family. Now let's talk about floods. What's a flood? Who's the first person you think of when you think about a flood? Probably Noah, right? Yeah. Well, what was the flood then? The flood was a purification. It was a cleansing of all that needed to be cleansed. It was a reset and a new beginning. And so if you're having floods in your dreams, God is talking about a purification. It's also a judgment on evil, right? So that's really what's been happening. As we've been cleansing the bloodlines, God has been bringing his justice and judgment over the evil that has been in my family line that I am ending with me. Ending with me so that I can receive all the generational blessings that I'm meant to receive. Now, a little later in this dream, I found myself seeing a hawk that had been chained down inside my grandparents' house. And I remember thinking, oh, that's kind of scary. I think I need to free him. So I freed the hawk and he flew out to me. And when I started to ask God about that, he was speaking about the generational prophetic calling that was in my family line that ended up being chained down and stuck there because nobody actually received it in the years before me. But I was saying yes to it. I was saying yes to that. If you're seeing a hawk or an eagle or even an owl, that is likely speaking to a prophetic calling. And it's so funny because I had never thought about it, that my grandparents had this beautiful brass eagle that was on the side of their house over their mailbox. It was there forever. I love it. Anytime I go to visit that house, I still love looking at that eagle. And what a prophetic marker of what I was going to receive as an inheritance through this family line. There was a blessing and a call to this that wasn't picked up. It was chained down, but I was setting it free and I was saying yes to it. So those are some examples of something that you might see in a dream where God is speaking to something generational. And as always, we just need to remember that our dreams are just a conversation starter, right? So even what I saw in that dream was like, woof, I'm a little bit weirded out by that. But instead of pretending it didn't happen or just being afraid, I'm going to engage God in conversation about this. And then from there, whew, so much came out of that dream. And he really prepared me for this next season of going after this stuff in my family line. And I needed that ability to orient myself to what was happening, because if I didn't recognize what we were doing was cleansing the bloodlines, it might feel kind of intense. I mean, it still was intense what I was going through, but I had the purpose. I knew the bigger picture of what was happening during that season, and it gave me vision to be able to walk through it. I'm just going to end today by giving you a couple questions to ask God, but also to ask yourself. Holy Spirit is the best at revealing to you what generational blessings and iniquities might be there. But I think, why don't we start by just asking the Holy Spirit this? God, is there a dream that you've already given me about the generations, about a generational blessing or generational iniquity? Just ask him to bring to mind if there's one that you've already had. Maybe you didn't know how to interpret it. Maybe you misinterpreted it. Let him show you. And then the second question I would ask is yourself. Sit down and just take a really honest assessment of what could be some generational blessings that you are being offered in your family. Look back at things that you've seen with your grandparents or your great-grandparents or your aunts and uncles or your parents. Look at some of the beautiful things that you've seen God do that's been passed down to you. some of the examples I mentioned earlier, like maybe it's favor in business. Maybe it's a peaceful demeanor. Maybe it's health and how God has continued to show up in your physical health. But I think it would be a beautiful exercise to sit with these two questions. Take 15 minutes, take 30 minutes if you have it. Even if this is hard for you, I think that's a part of the purpose of the exercise is to actually see the inheritance that is meant to be yours. My parents have a beautiful love story, and they are both musicians, and both of my family lines on my dad's side and my mom's side were musical. So I know this is something that I have been passed down. This is a blessing. This is a generational inheritance and calling on my life. I am also musical and I love music. And I haven't been able to do as much as I would like to in this arena, but I know that that's coming. And in those moments where I start to go, God, is this ever going to be something that I get to be more involved in? I just remember this is a part of my inheritance. This is a non-negotiable. This isn't a, do I get to partake in this or is this really a gift? The answer is this is mine to inherit. Okay. I hope you enjoy this exercise. I hope that it brings you even more deeply into a recognition of the beauty in your family and a deeper connection with God and his intention through your family line and in your life. And if you have any questions about this, don't hesitate. As I always say, reach out with questions. I love to get them. And maybe just ask God for a generational dream. God, what blessing do you have in my generational line? Would you give me a dream about that tonight? No matter what your dreams are, I bless you with happy, happy dreams and dreams that connect you even deeper to the heart of God. Until next time.